Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
The job of worship leaders should not be to have to be a private investigator and figure out what it's going to take to get inside your preference box in order to bring you to a place where you want to worship a little bit. We have way, way lost sight of what this is about.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern-day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
God is good. All the time, He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. And through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. I hope that you know that's true. Welcome, truth seekers, to Truth Infusion. Welcome into the Truth Infusion broadcast studios. We're here this morning to glorify God with the opportunity to preach and teach His Word and to ask Him to bless you with the opportunity to hear a rightly divided Word. And to do that, to accomplish that, we need the Holy Spirit to lead, to guide, to provide, to empower on every hand and every moment. The next 30 minutes, that's what we need. So pray with me, and we're going to get started with today's teaching. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be Yours, to be called by You, to be loved by You, to be forgiven by You, to be restored unto You. We thank You for Jesus Christ. Without Him, we would have no right to call upon You. We would have no opportunity to know You. Thank You for the Holy Spirit. We ask right now that You would let the Spirit lead and guide the way to correctly preach and teach this moment. And I ask that You would bless my brothers and sisters in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, welcome to what I think will be the last installment of a teaching series we've been doing for the last 3 weeks. A teaching series that I've entitled Mary's One Thing. And I don't have a lot of time to review over the last 2 weeks, so I want you to go listen from truthinfusion.com. Look on the radio page if you haven't heard these last two shows, the first two shows of this series. Go back and listen. We're going to jump right into this, but I will give you this much of an intro. We've been looking at the life of Mary, the sister of Martha and of Lazarus. There are three moments of Mary's life that are exampled for us in the gospel. Now, first week we looked at the moment where Jesus comes into Martha's home and Mary is just sitting at His feet. And we looked at the fact that if we're going to really be in right relationship with Christ, have to learn how to seek Him persistently. We talked about a daily devotional life and what that meant and what we learned from Mary in that moment. And last week, we looked at the next moment of her life chronologically would have been centered around the death and the resurrection of Lazarus. We looked at the fact that no matter what was going on in that moment, Mary was believing in Jesus exclusively as the answer to her need in that moment. We talked about the fact that properly placed faith in Christ alone is necessary if we are going to find that this statement I'm about to make holds true in our life, that Jesus is all you need. If Jesus is all you need, and I know you know that He is, but that statement has become not just a statement to agree with, but the way that we live, then that will be exampled in the fact that we won't look for answers and for help anywhere else. We will only look for what we need from Jesus when we understand and live out the fact that He is all we need. And I'm talking about believing in Him exclusively. We talked about the fact that when our faith is on Him exclusively, grace is poured into our lives. Mary exampled that in John chapter 11, surrounding the circumstances with the death of her brother. There's a particular verse that we've looked at for 2 weeks, and I want to read that verse again. And then when I look at the last moment in Mary's life that we see her, I want to talk about that for a few minutes, and then I want to conclude this teaching today. But our theme verse for this teaching comes out of Luke. This is the first passage of Scripture where we meet Mary in the Gospels, Luke chapter 10. But we're concentrating on verse 42, and it says, "But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Jesus is speaking about Mary. He's talking to Martha, speaking about Mary, and he says, "Martha, one thing is necessary, one thing is needed. Mary has figured that thing out, and it will not be taken away from her." And the first week we looked at the fact that she was seeking him with persistence. Last week we looked at the fact that she was believing in him exclusively. And now I want us to look at John chapter 12. And right there at the beginning in verse 1, here's the really awesome opportunity to see Mary in action again. Let me read a few verses here. "Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those that sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, 'Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?' This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was in it." Verse 7, "But Jesus said, 'Leave her alone. She has kept this day for the day of my burial. For the poor you will have always, but me you do not have always.'" And with that passage of Scripture, I want to draw out an obvious point from Mary's life. I think she would tell us today, if she could, you've got to learn how to worship him with abandon. Worship him with abandon. If you know anything about me, you would know that worship is a major part of my ministry. Been a worship leader in churches. I've been singing since I was young. I'm not a singer and a performer and an entertainer. I'm a worship leader. I really don't feel comfortable unless I'm in a circumstance where I'm leading worship. Just singing in front of people is not interesting to me. Just performing a special music is not interesting to me. Not nearly as fulfilling to me as when I'm leading a people or a congregation in worship. I know a few things about worship, and I want to make some comments based on a lot of experience, a lot of things that I've had to learn and relearn and find out I was just flat wrong about over the years. But when I look at the life of someone like Mary, a true worshiper, and I think about the fact that she would tell us, you've got to learn how to worship him with abandon, and then I look at the condition of the modern day church, specifically the American church, I see a great contrast in the concepts of what worship is all about. The modern-day church has really reduced worship to some sort of congregational ritual that's based primarily on preference. We've reduced worship to a congregational ritual that I believe is, for the most part, primarily based on preference. And what does that mean? I mean, for the most part, our worship is about what pleases me. And believe me, going in and out of different churches and leading worship opportunities and worship events, I know exactly what I mean when I say this, because one of the primary things I have to do when I go into a new church is figure out where these people sit and stand in the area of worship, what kind of stuff they're used to, what kind of stuff they like and prefer, so that we can meet them where they are. And hopefully, if we meet them where they are and they can trust us, that we're going to do it the way they like it, in a way that they will also worship the Lord with us. Now, that is a very upsetting way to have to approach it, But in a modern day worship leader has to figure out how to get into the worship groove with a church in order to first be able to find them where they are and then lead them to where God wants us to be. And it should not be that way. It should not operate that way. But the way the church is nowadays, that's what worship is all about to us. You see, at our church, we do it this way. And we like this type of instrument, and we don't like that type of instrument. And I like when the worship is about this loud, not louder than that, but if it's lower than that, I can't hear it. And if you're going to have drums, you better have them this way, but we don't want drums at all over here. And in this type of church, we like this genre of Christian music, and we don't like that genre. And if you're going to do this song, do it for this long and don't do it longer than that, because if you're going to do it longer than that, I'm not going to like it, and I'm going to just go home and say I didn't enjoy worship today. You see what I mean? It's all about what pleases us. And the question we ought to start asking ourselves is, when did the worship of God become about me and you? The job of worship leaders should not be to have to be a private investigator and figure out what it's going to take to get inside your preference box in order to bring you to a place where you want to worship a little bit. We have way, way lost sight of what this is about. Worship is not what you do for 20 minutes before the preacher preaches the sermon on Sunday morning. It's not about your preferences. It's not about a time slot on the bulletin. We have defined and redefined and relegated worship to something very different than what it truly is. Worship is not an action defined by certain parameters and certain preferences. Here's what we've lost sight of, Truth Seeker. Worship is a way of life. It's a lifestyle. Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." You see, worship is a lifestyle. It is a living sacrifice of a life at the feet of God. It is an outward expression of a heart that is intensely lived for Jesus every day, not on Sunday. Worship happens between the Sundays. Between the Sundays. You see, when you look at the life of Jesus, if we were to define worship the way we do in modern day America in our church today, that it's all about preferences, and this is the style we do it, and this is how we do it, and this is when we do it on the Sunday right before the sermon in this time slot. If that's how we looked at worship and we looked at the Bible, you'd never find Jesus worshiping if it was defined like that. Because I don't ever see Jesus, in a worship service or playing a guitar or singing a worship chorus or a hymn. There's one time where the Bible says they stood in the upper room and they sang a hymn. I guess that was the one time and only time Jesus ever worshiped, based on the way we look at worship today. That's not true. Everything Jesus did was worship. When he was walking down the road, he was worshiping. When he pulled a child up in his lap to love on him, he was worshiping. When he was preparing a breakfast on the seashore, he was in worship. Why? Because everything Jesus did put a smile on the face of God the Father. It was honoring to God the way that he lived his life. And we've got to come to a place where we worship him with abandon, not in a specific moment the way we choose and want to by our own specific preferences, but it's all the time, every day, between the Sundays, no matter what circumstances come, no matter what we're involved in, we're worshiping through our life. Our life is worship. That's why I love, and I forget who this worship leader was. I think it was Matt Redman. I may be wrong, but you'll remember the song, "When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. It's not the song. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. So I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you, Jesus. Mary caught sight of the truth about Jesus. And she did not come into that room and become a worshiper. She was a worshiper when she got there. She had been in worship. It just expressed itself in that moment. She knew things about Jesus the disciples there did not even know. She was worshiping. By his own words, Jesus said, she's doing this because she knows my burial day is at hand. She's worshiping him because she knew the cross was on the way. She may not have known it was a cross, but she knew he was about to be gone, about to die, and was going to be buried. She was worshiping him for the fact that he was about to give up his life. Not even his disciples had figured that out. How do you think she knew that? Because she had figured out the one thing, truth seeker. She had caught sight of the truth about him, that he was about to lay down his life, and she was worshiping him the day before, the day of, and the moment she came into that room, it was expressing itself in an amazing worship. Abandon all other things. She didn't care who else was in the room. She didn't care what anybody else thought or what they said or what they were seeing. She didn't see anybody else there, just Jesus. Abandon everything else. She was worshiping him with abandon. She had abandoned her own sense of worth. You see, she was giving him a gift that was worthy of him. It cost her something to worship him that morning, that day. Expensive. A whole year's worth of savings, all broken down on the feet of Jesus, all poured out in that moment. She gave him something worthy of the King of Kings. If your worship, if your life worship doesn't cost you something, it just shows how much he's worth to you. Worship is not worship unless it's costly. And Mary did not care what the cost was. She had abandoned the concept of cost. She poured it all out on Jesus. And that's the third thing I want to say about her worship. She gave it all. She didn't hold anything back. It was broken and spilled out on his feet. She couldn't save any of that ointment that day because she broke the container and spilled it all out. She abandoned the whole concept of keeping any of it for herself. She was worshiping with abandon. And only you can look at your life and examine the truth about it and determine if you're worshiping him with abandon. Three amazing moments in the life of this woman. Three lessons that she's taught us. Seek him with persistence in Luke chapter 10. Believe in him exclusively in John chapter 11. And worship him with abandon in John chapter 12. What an amazing lady. Now I want to take a few moments to conclude this teaching. Our theme verse these 3 weeks has been Luke chapter 10 verse 42, where Jesus said, but one thing is needed. And Mary has figured that out. She's caught sight of it. She's chosen that, and it will not be taken away from her. So I don't know if you're keeping up with the stats here, but Jesus has said, and I've read you this verse over and over, one thing is needed, and over the last 3 weeks, I've given you three things. Seek him with persistence. Believe in him exclusively. Worship him with abandon. Jesus said one thing, I've given you three things. So, okay, the math is easy. One does not equal three. So, David, what are you trying to say? Can you make this all tie together so that it makes sense? And this is really where I wanted to get us for 3 weeks. When I was preparing this sermon for the church that I went to just a few weeks ago, the way that God gave this to me to tie all together, he didn't give to me until the very end of my study. I thought I had this sermon all laid out and figured out. Three neat points, looking at this lady's life, the points that I've already given you, it was all good to go. I thought this was a sermon that's going to be very applicable for this new year. As we're walking into a new year, some things to challenge us with. And then right at the last minute, God dropped something on me that completely made the whole message, the whole lesson, take a 90-degree turn and get to something that was really important. And what I want to do is I want to take three things that Mary showed us in her life, seek him with persistence, believe in him exclusively, worship him with abandon, and I want to show you that really all those three things really all boil down to the one thing. The one thing that is needed. And here's what I want to do. I want to show you the one thing that I believe Mary had figured out. But see, we find three different moments of her life. three different snapshots in the life of Mary. And if you take enough of a look at the three moments, you'll see the one common thread that is sown through each moment that the gospel writers give us. And the common thread, I believe, is the one thing that Mary figured out. And when she figured out the one thing, the other things became easy and obvious and almost like an automatic byproduct of the one thing. But here's how I want to show you the one thing that Mary had figured out. I want to read for you a verse from each of these passages that we've looked at for the last 3 weeks. The first week was in Luke chapter 10. The second week was in John chapter 11. The third week was in John chapter 12. This week, John chapter 12. I want to read one verse from each of those passages, each of those different moments of her life. And as I read those particular verses out of each section, the one thing will become glaringly obvious, as it was to me when God revealed this to me. So that's what I want to do. And you'll see the one thing, and then I want to comment about it for a moment. And we'll find ourselves concluded with this teaching. So here's one verse from each section. Here's Luke chapter 10, verse 39. And she had a sister named Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. All right? Here is John chapter 11, verse 32. Then, when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. Now, John chapter 12 and verse 3. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. Now let me ask you, truth seeker, what was Mary's secret? What was her one thing? It becomes very obvious when you let the scripture speak for itself. Every time we see Mary, every moment of her life that's laid out in the Word, every snapshot that we see, we find her where? At the feet of Jesus. In Luke 10, she's at the feet of Jesus listening to his word. In John chapter 11, she's at the feet of Jesus seeking him for her need where Lazarus is concerned. In John chapter 12, she's at the feet of Jesus worshiping him as she pours the oil over his feet and wipes the feet with her hair. She lived her life at the feet of Jesus. One thing Jesus said, one thing was necessary, was needed, and Mary had figured that out. You see, you can only hang on every word from his mouth when you are seated at his feet. When you're at the feet of Jesus, you won't miss a word. And you will seek him with persistence when you are at his feet. You can only look to him for every answer of every problem and every struggle that comes down the pipe when you are always at his feet. You see, when you stray away from his feet, you will only be able to look for answers elsewhere. But if you're at his feet, you will always turn to him for the answer. And you can only offer a life full of worship, worshiping with abandon, if you are bowed down at his feet. She lived her life at the feet of Jesus. I look at my life on a day-to-day, moment-to-moment basis, and I have to ask myself, where am I located? You see, that's Mary's secret. I think if she was here and she could lay it out so that it made perfect sense in a very concise way, here's what she would say to you and to me. What's the secret of your success, Mary? It's location, location, location. You've got to learn how to live your life at the feet of Jesus Christ. It's Mary's answer. It's her one thing. It's what I found, and it changed my heart in a very powerful way. I'll never forget sitting in front of my desk, writing on these notes, and when God revealed this to me, the tears streaming down my face. I couldn't even sit still anymore. Had to get up and walk around and just start praying and asking for forgiveness and asking for direction. Lord, will you keep me at your feet? I worship only at the feet of Jesus. I want to seek for answers only at the feet of Jesus. I want to find the fulfillment of the word in my life, and I want to look only at the feet of Jesus. I know that life gets busy, and the world is against us, and the enemy is upon us, and our flesh rises against the spirit, and all too often, we love him. And we desire to serve him, but we find that our location has drifted away from him. And my challenge to you, Truth Seeker, as we complete this today, is to spend some time in introspection. Do a little spiritual inventory and ask yourself, where do I live my life? I worship only at the feet of Jesus. His cup alone is my holy grail. There'll be no other gods before him. Just Jesus only will never fail. Just Jesus only will never fail. Lord, for those that are listening right now, impress upon our hearts, God, where exactly are we located at this moment? And Lord, if we're not firmly seated at the feet of your only begotten Son, would you show us? Would you forgive us? And would you relocate us to find the one thing that Mary knew, the power and the completeness and the satisfaction and the fulfillment of a child seated at the feet of Jesus. That's Mary's one thing, and that's what I want you to do this new year. Seek for the one thing, to live life at the feet of Jesus. Until next time, keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas, 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.